With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Repaired, you'll want to find out if your vehicle...
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, running a little behind on a Monday. It's already 4:08. So,
goodness gracious.
Well, we talked about the Patriots and the Jags a lot. So we'll get to the NFC game coming up next hour. Here in just a moment, I've got a little college football palate cleanser for you. We have some new NFL coaches we need to discuss. Our stock watch will be here in about 10 minutes, and then in the news, big Pearl Jam news.
Yeah, I'm a little excited about this one.
I thought about you when I saw that.
Did you?
Oh, I guarantee he's going to that.
The last Pearl Jam show, we went together.
Yes. Well, I don't know. We weren't together. We were both there.
I sat with your wife. You were...
Oh, you did?
Yeah, remember?
No.
Yeah, you sat away from your wife.
I was in a suite.
Yes, and Nurse Nice was down because we had tickets together, and then somehow you ended up like in a suite. And your lovely wife was down there with us, and that's where Tim Taylor's wife passed out.
Oh, right. I thought she puked. Didn't she puke?
That too, but...
Gross.
Just trying to...
Oh, you were trying to not say that?
Trying to soften that blow a little bit.
Oh, she puked.
We had to call in the hazmat team. It was a whole thing.
I forgot my wife was down there.
Yeah.
Huh. Hilarious.
I did. So the last Pearl Jam show I watched with your wife, not you.
Well, anyway, that'll be in the news. We have the Amazon Go store... news and so much more. That'll be at 4:30. But spreads, I saw, okay, Brett McMurphy on Twitter, mm-hmm. on the tweets, he had this, and they've already put out spreads on the first week of college football games. Not all the games, but...
The far too early week one spreads.
Would you bet on Oregon State at Ohio State? Because you know they're playing there.
Yeah, I know. I would need to know, what are we talking about here? Are we talking 25, 30?
31.
Would I bet on... Are you saying would I bet on the Beavs? No.
Yeah. No. Taking 31 points?
I wouldn't touch that. I wouldn't.
Mike?
That's really scary.
Yeah, they're big dogs.
Oregon State with a whole new offense, whole new defense, just a whole new crop of dudes, and you're rolling in game one at the Shoe.
Is that going to be ugly?
Although Ohio State has to get rid of Barrett, right? So they're... I mean...
I'm sure they haven't recruited a great quarterback in the last 2 years.
I know. No, I'm not touching that. I honestly wouldn't bet that, but if I did, I would bet Ohio State.
Oregon, final score, 65-10.
Have you seen Oregon State the last couple years?
Yes. I have eyes.
I get that it's a new regime, but no.
31. So you think that's low? The value is on the Bucks?
No, there's no value there whatsoever. That's one of those in my amateur gaming opinion. Don't touch that one.
Hey, you remember...
That's a sucker bet.
What was the Oregon State LSU spread, Strawberry Shortcake year?
That had to be fairly significant, and Oregon State should have had them.
Oh, they almost beat them.
But then you remember the Louisville game and the Penn State game and a lot of the other ones that they didn't really...
But that LSU game, though.
That one LSU game, yes. Where all we had to have was Strawberry Shortcake make some extra points, and they beat LSU at LSU.
And then Auburn's playing Washington the first week. That game's in Atlanta. And the spread on that is Auburn favored by 4.
Interesting.
Over the Huskies.
Huh. I would be inclined to lay the points on that and take Auburn as well. I think that's actually pretty good that UW's only given up 4. I think that surprised me a little bit that they're getting that much respect. But UW loses some stuff, obviously, Vita Vea on defense. But I just think Chris Peterson has got it kind of rolling up there. I think UW's going to be really, really competitive in that game. But that's a tough place to ask them to go down and play.
I'm also seeing here from my reporting sources out in the field, because you know I have a team out there.
You do. Well, that's why you're the best non-newsman in the business.
Nike campus fire. Did you see that?
No. When did this happen?
Moments ago.
Wow. I was going to say, this morning I was roaming the news webs.
I don't know how big it is, so don't freak out. It's just somebody forwarded me a photo, and it's from 3:55 today.
Is there some smoke or?
Yeah. It doesn't look, I mean, it doesn't look horrible, but
so someone like
I see flames.
Someone left their muffin in the microwave too long and
it was probably Phil.
Caught on fire. Damn it, Phil.
Can't do anything right.
Get your act together.
That guy. Well, anyway, yeah, we'll keep you posted there. I'm sure the news, the real news is all over that.
I'm actually kind of excited, though, that we've got some nice Pac-12 games to kick off the year. Not that the Oregon State game will be super interesting, but you'll tune in for it. And then I think the UW-Auburn game, I think that's great. I got a buddy of mine that's going to go down to that. That may be one that, is that at Jordan-Hare or is it neutral site?
Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's in the big stadium.
I know this sounds...
You know, the beers are only like $4 there.
Yeah, and like the pretzels are $1 or $2. I know this sounds crappy, but...
You don't want to go?
I would much rather go see it if it was at Auburn.
Oh, yeah, just for the college,
just
you know,
for the
pageantry of the stadium.
Yeah, because I got a buddy of mine who's a big Husky guy, and you know, he can get tickets. And I just think if I'm going to travel all that way, no offense, but I don't want to see UW play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'd rather go see them play at Jordan-Hare. I'd rather see that game at Auburn.
All right, coming up next, it's our Primetime Stock Watch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports on The Fan.
Side, call 1-800-DIVORCE today.
All right, here's what my sources are telling me in the field about the fire.
The blazing inferno at Nike.
My sources, by the way, katu.com.
Exclusive to just you.
Yes.
And anyone else that wants to go to that website.
I found it first. Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue crews are on the scene of a 2-alarm commercial fire near the Nike campus in Beaverton.
Okay. It's like there's a warehouse on fire adjacent to the Nike campus.
Something wrong.
Clearly, it's time to panic and take to the streets.
Fire first reported 3:30 near 150th and Walker, and it appears to be a storage building near the Nike facilities. Well, that's no fun.
No.
I feel bad for all that furniture going up in flames over there, though.
Or what else you have in storage?
I just got a storage unit.
Did you?
We should talk about storage units.
For what?
Well, I can't go into that.
Some remanded furniture again?
I'm sorry, what?
I don't have enough stuff to put in storage.
No. Look, he ran out of space in his sex dungeon. We all know.
I see.
It's the secondary sex dungeon, or it's the toy room for the sex dungeon.
Yeah, that's where I go get all my stuff before I go and set up the dungeon.
That's where you go 50 Shades of Grey.
Stored over there.
Well, and it's like you want to roll out. You don't want it to get stale, so you roll in new attractions.
Yes.
And you don't want to get rid of the old stuff.
Right.
I'm guessing that sex dungeon doesn't sell well on the open market. Like, once it's used, I kind of feel like that's yours.
Let's get to Mike here. We need to get going here on the, what is this?
Stock Watch.
We're watching stocks.
Stock Watch.
Buying and or selling.
I sell them all. Panic.
This guy has the right tone all of the time. He does it with players. He does it with the media. He does it with his fellow coaches. People want to be around Doug Peterson. And he has been the constant, Trey, through the entire season.
ESPN Sal Pelantonio on Doug Peterson and the Eagles. So Peterson, great head coach. A lot of their top players are signed through 2020. Buy or sell, the Eagles will be a top 2 seed for the next few years, at least, in the NFC.
Yeah, the Eagles aren't going anywhere. And as long as Carson Wentz comes back from the ACL tear, and we've seen this, it's not like ACL tears are career enders anymore. You know, a lot of people think he'll be back next year and be fine. But you look at, like you said, that squad. One, it's fairly young. A couple of the other guys that are mentioned that are key veterans are signed long-term. You know, you probably eventually have to come up with something out at left tackle, but that can be addressed through the draft. There's no reason. And LeGarrette Blount's fairly cheap and Jay Ajayi. I mean, there's not a ton of guys on there that are huge, salary guys. So not only can Philadelphia be good with these guys under contract, but they should be able to manage this going forward if they're smart in the front office. Philadelphia is in a, I think, a nice long window here, as long as Carson Wentz stays healthy. And this isn't a fluke. This is a good roster.
Who needs Carson Wentz? Who are you talking about?
Well, I think if they, if they have Carson Wentz, this is a much different Super Bowl.
My brother, they're in the Super Bowl without him. Nick Foles, bitch.
Yeah, but remember, they only had two games, I think, without him at the end of the year.
Big D Nick.
Merry Christmas, bitch.
I buy that as well. You know, the league, this league, I don't know, we say this, and then, I don't know, there's a lot of, what am I trying to say? It's just a lot of parody.
So you never
know. But they look awful. I mean, when you're in the Super Bowl with your backup quarterback, how many teams could do that?
Not many. You know,
so that tells you a lot right there. So I think they'll be a top two seed for the next few years. Yeah, for sure. Because Carson Wentz is legit.
Yeah, and most of the guys in that defense, you know, it's not like you have a bunch. I'm looking through their starting 11. They've got two guys that have been in the league more than 6 years. I mean, this is a young mid-20s nucleus here. And, you know, Philadelphia, you know, whether it's this year or not, Philadelphia's got a real good chance of putting a ring on their finger here in the next handful of years.
I mean, think about it this way. If you just boil it down to quarterbacks, don't you think Carson Wentz is good enough, showing that he's good enough? He'll get one.
Absolutely.
At least one.
Yeah.
That guy's good.
Because there's a good roster built around him as well.
They're all hard to swallow when you don't win. And to get a game away from playing the Super Bowl, that's going to be hard to swallow. The way it happened, I mean, they played really well and we didn't. And it's unfortunate.
There's Vikings quarterback Case Keenum after the game. Buy or sell, someone other than Case Keenum will be the starting quarterback for this team next season.
Gosh. I'm going to sell that. I think they go with Case Keenum. I know that didn't go well. I thought they'd be flat, but I didn't see that coming, especially at the start of the game. The first 6 minutes was all Minnesota, and then, boy, the wheels came off. But I don't think it's going to be Sam Bradford. I don't think Bradford's back.
He's still on the Vikings?
He's still on the Vikings. He was their backup. Remember, there was some talk that maybe they could go to him if it got ugly.
So Bridgewater was inactive the whole time? Like, they couldn't have brought him back?
No, Bridgewater was active, but I don't think he was part of the.
He couldn't have played?
No. In that game, it was Case Keenum and it was Sam Bradford.
So Bradford's a free agent and Keenum's a free agent, right?
Yes.
And they're thinking about maybe franchising Keenum?
That's the talk.
Just to kind of
see what you got. Year. And
you know what you got.
Well, but you had 1 year of them, kind of like what they did with Kirk Cousins. I don't know if they want to give him a long-term contract.
Well, they just lost their offensive coordinator. Shurmur just took the Giants job.
Yeah, I think that Case Keenum will be back.
See, I'm going to, I'm going to buy this. I'm going to go with Teddy Bridgewater.
You did declare Teddy Bridgewater good.
Yeah, I like Teddy Bridgewater. He's, I don't know. I mean, the way it ended with Keenum, it's like, ooh, gives you some doubt. You know, he was horrible in that game. And so I think Bridgewater's been their starter all along. And I know he got hurt, but he was good before he went down. So I think they'll go back with Teddy B. That's my prediction.
You got to be seeing that play clock wind down. I mean, you know, from a player perspective, I know you're watching it because the staff has to be seeing that thing get down as well. I'm just questioning because I'm watching it tick down. I'm thinking call a timeout, do something to at least help yourself. And again, not one play is going to define a win or a loss. That one to me was the tip of the iceberg. It began to roll the other side as soon as that happened.
That's Jeff Saturday, ESPN, on the delay of game penalty at the beginning, or being the beginning of the end. So if you had to point to one thing, buy or sell, the Jags penalties at the end of the first half, the delay of game and the holding call on their offensive drive that pushed them out of field goal range, and the unnecessary roughness and the PI on defense that allowed the Patriots to get into scoring range were the reason they lost.
That's a lot.
It
so
is
basically, you're saying that the penalties were the reason they lost?
The penalties in those two drives. It was those two drives right there were the reason the Jags did not win the game.
Look, if you want to go, the end of the half allowed a window for New England.
Yeah, that was a big.
So, yeah, I guess I'll buy into that. The you're not getting points, giving the ball back and having New England go down and score.
All mostly because of penalties.
Yes, that did open a window because there's so many of these that you can go to. So I'm gonna sell the fact that that's the reason, because there's 10 reasons, 15, 20. But I don't think that we can circle that enough for what a huge momentum shift that was, where it looked like Jacksonville should be able to tack at least three more on. And then self-inflicted, right? I mean, just dumb, stupid penalties. And then they, you know, they got the one on Cooks, which you can agree with or not. I mean, it was one of those 50-50 calls. But yeah, that was a huge, huge momentum swing going into the half. And I also thought that Jacksonville, dude, there was a minute left and you had all three timeouts and you chose to kneel on the ball. I didn't like that decision either. I think that's the other one, is Jacksonville started to pucker right there and tried to play to hold on to the lead as opposed to trying to continue to do what they had at the start of the game.
I see why they did that. But, you know, if you just look at the next game, that's why you don't go for anything there. You got the lead. Do you remember what happened in the Vikings Eagles game? The Vikings went down there to try to get the three, and what ended up happening? Yeah.
But still, I just you've been aggressive. I thought from that moment on, I thought they took their foot off the gas and were never, I don't know, just didn't feel nearly as aggressive to me going forward.
I cannot ever buy a stock that says penalties are the reason someone lost. It's just oversimplification. There's just too much, you know, too much in a game. There's a billion reasons why they lost. Mike, I have to sell your stock. I'm sorry.
As the game goes on, once they figure out what your soft spot is and what your sore spot is, they will keep attacking it. And they won't sit there and go, well, we have all these plays that we want to run because we want to look smart and we want to look innovative. No, they'll keep running the same thing. And on defense, they'll go, we're not going to go away from trying to take away your best player. It's just because we're having some success. We're going to continue to make him feel like he can't do anything against us, and we'll ride with the other people trying to beat us, and they won't deviate. That's the mental toughness of the coaching staff that then transfers to the player.
This is more of a personal one, but that's ESPN's Lewis Riddick on the Pats continuing their greatness at halftime adjustments. But buy or sell, you never once in the game yesterday thought the Patriots would lose.
Oh, no. There was a couple times I thought New England was going down.
Like, ooh, can I take this one first?
You take it.
You know the one moment in the game, and they're obviously they were on the ropes much of the game, but the one time that I was like, holy crap, Jags are going to win this. You know when that was?
Huh.
14-3.
Really? That's where you kind of hit the...
At that point, but once 14-3, I'm like, holy crap, they're dominating them. And so you're sitting there going, dude, this could be a blowout.
Yeah.
Well, once the end of the half touchdown by the Patriots happened, 14-10, from that point on, it stayed close enough from that point on that you're like, surely New England's going to pull this out because you just have so much faith in the greatest quarterback ever and all that stuff, you know, all that crap.
Yeah.
But 14-3 was the moment I'm like, ooh, boy, the Jags are taking it to them.
Yeah.
For me, it was the Miles Jack fumble recovery because it was a trick play. So you knew they were trying anything to get it going on offense, and it worked. And he had like 30-yard run, and then all of a sudden the Jags had the ball again. I went, oh, my God.
Yeah, I thought that was a
backbreaker. Jacksonville's going to win this game.
They got it.
I thought that was a backbreaker, too, where I was like, dude, if they go down and score here, game's over. And they didn't. They punted, and New England went down and scored.
They three and out, didn't they?
They three and out at them, and then they went down and New England scored. But the other one is that Mike was talking about was at the end of the half. When they got down there, I thought to myself, Jacksonville punches this in. I'm like, this may be the knockout blow because, you know, Gronk, you know, Gronk being hurt. I'm like, this may do it.
Refresh my memory.
The last question I asked before the penalty spree. It was 14-3 and Jacksonville had the ball at like 35 or whatever it was down there.
And the delay of game pass was completed for 15, 20 yards.
Yep. And it was down there and you're like, they're going to score. They're at least going to tack on a field goal. They may get a touchdown. New England was on the ropes and it got brought back. And, you know, then that was the total momentum shift. But yeah, there was a couple times I thought New England was going to lose that football game. And, you know, there was part of me that was kind of smiling. It was like, good for Jacksonville. Like, you know, you come into New England and you bloody the bully here a little bit, but you got to play 60 minutes to beat those guys. That's why they've been to 8. You know, and anyone that wants to dismiss that, yeah. I mean, obviously there's some luck and fortune that comes into every, you know, game and every, you know, championship you win, but New England just has a resolve that's unlike anything I've ever seen.
All right, that is our Stock Watch. It is each Monday at 4:15, and it's brought to you by Goldberg Jones. When it comes to divorce, custody, and child support issues, trust Goldberg Jones to help. Call 1-800-DIVORCE. Phone questions answered at no charge. Great guys over there. Up next, it is in the news, Pearl Jam and Amazon Go. Here's Mike.
Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, hot five at 5:25 minutes. All the big news. There is a lot of news today. We've got some NFL coaching hires. We've got a Pac-12 quarterback transferring. We will talk about the NFC game. We haven't talked about the Vikings and the Eagles at all yet.
No, and the Eagles not getting any kind of love for what they did to Minnesota. I love how...
I'll give them love.
Yeah, I mean, after a game like that, then somehow it's like the dismissive of Minnesota. Not only did you put a beat down on Minnesota's offense, but, I mean, that's the number one defense in the league, and you carved it up. So all this talk of, oh, Nick Foles can't do this, Nick Foles can't do that. New England doesn't have a great defense, and he just played an elite defense, by far the best defense top to bottom in the league, and, you know, they put an ass whooping on it.
So we'll get to that game at 5:15 right now. In the news, January 22nd, 2018, I'm your noted newsman and most decorated non-reporter reporter, the side of the Rockies. Now, we told you about what seemed to be a fire at the Nike campus today.
Yeah, it was time to panic. The swoosh was going up.
Well, the first photo of the fire circulated on social media from someone named Babs. Mm. And Babs put on their Nike campus fire, and everybody freaks out. Well, it's not on the Nike campus. It's across the street.
Like at an old warehouse.
So now we don't care.
There's some remanded furniture that's going up in flames.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like there was nobody in there. Or if there were people in there, they got out safely. At this point, there are no reports of injuries. It was a two-alarm fire at 150th and Walker.
Can I ask a question?
Commercial fire.
What is the whole, like, two alarm, three alarm, four?
I'm not sure about that.
Like, I'm aware that obviously the more alarms, the worse it is. But, like, what is what's the difference between a two alarm and a four alarm fire?
Well, being the newsman that I am, I'm going to bring that to you.
Saying, you always hear that. It's a four alarm fire. And then we're like, oh.
Have you ever heard them say multiple alarm fire?
Yeah, but that's right. Kind of along those lines.
Well, what does that mean, though?
I don't know.
Multiple, does that mean one and two? Wouldn't that be a three?
I feel like multiple is two.
Multiple alarm fire. Okay, so at least two?
At least
yeah.
two.
So one alarm. Here's the definition. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. I don't feel like you have it.
Pay no attention to a stalling four time.
A common misconception is that a three-alarm fire, for example, means that three firehouses responded to the fire. This is not the rule behind the naming convention, although some cities may use the number of firehouses responding for multi-alarm designations because that is the simplest way to determine an alarm number. The most widely used formula for multi-alarm designation is based on the number of units, fire trucks, for example, and firefighters responding to a fire. The more vehicles and firefighters responding, the higher the alarm designation.
How many does it go up to? Because you can't use firefighters because if like 40 firefighters show up, you can't have a 40 alarm
it
fire.
It appears the most you can have is a 3 alarm fire.
That's it, huh?
That's what it says.
So if like the entire city goes up in flames, I'm stuck at a 3 alarm fire?
With this unit firefighter alarm designation, the initial dispatch is referred to as a first alarm. And is typically the largest. Subsequent alarms are calls for additional units, usually because the fire has grown and additional resources are needed to combat it.
So that doesn't mean like a one alarm fire doesn't mean that one truck. It just means that they're like, all right, we're going to send the guys. And then we're like, wait, we need backup.
Right.
Wait, we need more backup.
So it sounds like you have to be an OG gangster firefighter in order to be included in the alarms. Like if you have to call in reinforcements,
you're kind of a candy.
It's
ass.
Still a three. No. I'm saying it's still a three alarm.
I see.
You know, like if you aren't initially on the scene, you're not in the alarms.
Yeah,
I don't care about you.
You're out of here.
They just, they call you in.
So either way, there's a warehouse that got caught on fire by Nike. It's major news.
Not by Nike. That you made it sound like Nike lit the place on fire. They did not.
Well, you don't know that.
Oh, maybe they did.
Yeah, maybe
they want the land. I don't know.
It's all part of the insurance scam. They do that in San Francisco, right? They just burn the buildings down.
Hey, we've got Pearl Jam news. Pearl Jam has announced a stadium, a Safeco Field Stadium home show.
I think it's the first time in, what, 5-6 years they're going to play the hometown there.
Yeah, they're going to play Safeco Field August 8th and August 10th, and they're going to try to raise millions upon millions of dollars for homelessness in the Seattle area.
Yeah, they're pledging at least $1 million. So they're guaranteeing $1 million, and their goal is to raise 10. And they got my money because I will plop that down. Good and I will be there. I've never seen Pearl Jam in Seattle.
I haven't either. I've only seen him here.
And so I think that'll be cool to see him up at Safeco.
Pearl Jam notes that the two-night stand at Safeco Field, which will hold 100,000 fans over the two concerts, is the largest headlining concert in Seattle since the Rolling Stones' two-night residency at the city's since-demolished Kingdome. And that was in 1981.
That place is going to sell out in a matter of moments, and that's going to be a pretty kick-ass night. I wanted to go back and see
them. Two nights.
Yeah, two nights. Did you ever see where they did the two nights at Wrigley and the video that they made a movie about it?
No.
Yeah, called Let's Play 2. It's a really cool. They did a documentary where they went and played a couple nights out at Wrigley Field. And
Why is he a Cubs fan? Isn't he a...
He's from Illinois.
Oh, that's right. He's from there.
Yeah, he's from Illinois.
How long has he been in Seattle?
Long time. Eddie, I mean, that's kind of where the band formed and all that, like out of Mother Love Bone and all that. But he's from Evansville or something like that. Yeah, he's originally from Illinois.
So does he awkwardly support the Mariners too because he feels like he has to?
I think there's an element of that, but I think the band is Mariners, and I think Eddie is uniquely the Chicago Cubs. But that will be a cool... That'll be a cool experience, and I may try if I can get tickets. I may double dip that. That may be one of those worth going to back-to-back nights.
All right. What nights are the... Hold on.
August 8th, I think?
Well, I know. It's the 8th and 10th. I'm just asking what nights... You know, my iPhone has a calendar on it. You know
that? Yeah, that happens from time to time.
Wednesday, Friday.
I don't know why we're taking a day in between.
They got a party, dude.
you gotta shake that off a little bit.
Okay, coming up next, Amazon Go in the news today. It is 4:44 on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up in 10 minutes. We've got the Hot 5 at 5. Two new NFL coaches, a Pac-12 quarterback transferring, and the official point spread on the super big game.
The largest since, what, 2009?
Who played in 09?
That I don't know. I just saw that it was the largest since 2009. Tell you. Who you got?
It was that Arizona team with Kurt Warner.
Oh,
that was an underdog to the Steelers.
Because this one's, what, 5.5? What was theirs?
I don't know. It was more than that. But that ended up being a great freaking game.
It did. And were you surprised that... Because that didn't seem like a big spread to me when I saw it was the largest since 2009. I guess I just assumed there would have been a Super Bowl somewhere where someone was favored by a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm actually surprised Patriots aren't favored in this game by a touchdown, but it's just under that.
What started out that?
Oh, and did?
Yeah, when New England won, it was 7 or 7.5, and by the end of the Philadelphia-Minnesota game, it had gone down a 2 points.
Now, who would have been favored between the Jags and Eagles? Have you seen that number?
I haven't seen that number.
I haven't either. I'd like to know. January 22nd in the news. Hey, that Amazon Go store opened up to the regular public.
Foghorn Leghorn there. I do say it's open.
So this shop was originally just for Amazon employees. It's now open to anyone, and you have to have a smartphone and the Amazon Go app. You have to have that on your phone.
So do I just like scan stuff on my phone?
Well, so in order to walk in to the shop, you have to scan your barcode from the app. So it's like right at that turn. It's kind of like a turnstile thingy. You know how you enter those. You have to get your barcode up on your phone and put that sucker down there, and then it buzzes you in. You go through the turnstile, and then at that point it knows you're in there, and it's got hundreds of cameras. I guess the cameras are everywhere, so it's watching you. And
isn't that kind of weird?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever.
It's like got like a little drone that like hovers above your head. Like, you want that? You sure?
And then what you do is you roll in, you take whatever you need, and you walk out. There are no cashiers. Basically what they do is when you walk through, it will scan the items that you have with you, and it will charge the credit card that you have on file with the app.
I kind of think this is a cool idea. I feel bad
because
it's going to put a lot of people out of business.
Well, they still
super convenient.
They still have people, people are idiots. So they walk up, like, whoa, I can just take whatever I want. No. Do you have the app? Do you have a smartphone? If you do, then you can enter this line and then go in and shop. But, so in a bout of irony, it had massive lines today.
Look at the convenience of it. It's an hour to get in the store. So
everybody was lining up to go in. And I guess somebody at CNBC went in there and stole a yogurt. They got out of there with a yogurt.
What? That was the whole goal. If you could swipe some yogurt?
I mean, obviously people are going to test the technology. And they're going to see if, you know, will they catch. So they bought a bunch of stuff, like, I don't know, peas and crap.
Yeah.
And cookies. And they had a bunch of stuff they got out with. And they said that they got out of there with the yogurt. They look. It sometimes it takes 10 to 15 minutes, but your receipt will pop up on your phone. And they will show you everything. And their little thing of yogurt wasn't on there. So they called the VP of Amazon.
Scofflaws.
And or VP of Amazon Go. And she said, yeah, don't worry about it.
Well, that's the... You'd be amazed at what grocery stores budget in for and places like that for people taking stuff. Like, you don't feel bad. Like, if you... Like, sometimes you, like, you're getting donuts or whatever. If you take 13 instead of 12... Trust me, this Kroger doesn't care that you got over on them 69 cents with that free donut. Somehow I think their bottom line will be okay.
And haven't you seen, like, there was a photo, Bjornson forwarded this to me the other day because it was at Walmart and it was out in Salina, Kansas. But out back, they were throwing away an ungodly amount of food.
Oh, yeah.
Because of, expiration dates and liability and all that.
Dude, Chaz, I worked.
It's unbelievable how much they throw away.
I worked at an Albertsons, and when I was right out of college, that the amount of waste and stuff that goes through there, it just it's like unbelievable. You said, it would blow your mind. And how much they don't care about that sort of thing.
So they would rather not be sued.
Yes,
because you got sick or something. You know. Got some 5-foot tapeworm.
Well, I've told the story before. We'd have people that would come in and like literally like baby formula. They would just take armfuls of it and walk out of the store. And they'll tell you you're not allowed to do anything about it. It's like, well, you can call the cops, but like that whole shoplifting, prosecuting thing, no, not at grocery stores. They don't care.
A couple of texts here. Homeless crime wave. Bums with smartphones make out with thousands in groceries. Well, no, you have to have your credit card.
Just run in and grab a handful. I was like, I'm out of here.
So it's not going to let you in unless your credit card is on file with the Amazon Go app. So there's got to be a card that's charged.
And someone's saying, isn't the point of Amazon to not have to go to the store? Yeah, but this is like a grocery store. Yeah. Although they do have some of those like Amazon Fresh Now markets where they do have some of that stuff delivered to you.
Sometimes I feel like, I don't know how you feel about this, but sometimes I feel like the incremental, would be the word, convenience that we're saving it's so small that I wonder why we have, like, is it really hard to have a cashier? Like, is that so inconvenient that we can't possibly have that?
Well, we've talked about this. This is my thing with apps. Everyone always tells me that I got to get this app because it's going to make my life so much easier. And then I'll stop and ask the question of, I don't have this problem in my life.
Like, well, everybody's different. But like, okay, so when's the first time somebody starts griping about the fact that they have to pull out their phone and put it on the barcode scanner in order to get through into Amazon Go?
Yeah,
inconvenient.
Why can't I just walk in?
Yeah, I just want to be, you know.
Yes.
We've
reached the point where everything inconveniences us. You know what inconveniences you? Life.
Yeah. Yeah, this is hard.
Yeah.
All this is hard.
There is an element. That's why we're soft as baby, you know what.
But it's like, I don't know. I just don't find... I don't see that saving me all that much time. I mean, it would if there's long lines and stuff, but I mean, I guess the line is now to get in, right?
Yeah.
Instead of checking out, it's I don't see it being.
Well, and
this is hard. It's all just hard.
I suppose
you get paid for this.
I suppose if you have like a big shopping cart, I guess that's kind of convenient, right? Instead of having everyone, but then it's not going to be bagged. I'm just going to have a big shopping cart full of stuff, and then I'm going to have to bag it myself, or do I just dump the cart?
They have they have orange bags in there for you, but you can bring your own bags, I think, too.
So you're bagging yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Which is now reducing the convenience again.
Right. Yeah, like you got. What if you have so much stuff that you're like, God.
Yeah, because when I go grocery shopping for my family, I got way too much stuff.
Well, but this is not like a major.
No, this is like
it's like 7-Eleven, dude.
You're just going in and picking up stuff here and there.
You're getting Cool Ranch Doritos.
Basically, you're stoned and you're buying yourself a slushie and some Doritos. Yeah.
All right, coming up next, it is the Hot 5 at 5. Then we'll get into the NFC Championship game on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.